What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Amazing. Shana Goldman is back on Friday. And once again, Marty is nowhere to be found. This is a disappointing trend for him. It's a ongoing, just amazing run for me personally, especially when we always joke about our commercial break discussions. Tell us about your enthusiasm for the new Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, we have to talk about positive things because apparently me and Marty have been fighting all summer and neither of us knew it, but I feel like that's what it comes down to. But no, like, hello, today it's the release of Short and Sweet and by Sabrina Carpenter, and it is short and sweet. I know we always talk about music and different things and we get hyped about it, but like, we have to get hyped about this.
Good. I haven't done my daily indulgence yet in the new music, so that's what the weekend is for, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. You jumped on, and we're like, what is happening? It's August 23rd. We have so much hockey news to talk about this week. I don't like being the quarterback in this situation because I don't want to throw an errant pass right out of the chute. There's so many places to start. I am also a bit of a linear thinker, but let's do it backwards. The deal from yesterday, the Winnipeg-Pittsburgh trade of top prospects, in your opinion, with Rutger McGroarty going to Pittsburgh and getting his entry-level deal. Braden Jaeger goes to Winnipeg, so the Jets are trying to sell that as, oh, Prairie Boy, he's going to be happy to play in Winnipeg. It's interesting, isn't it, based on where Winnipeg and Pittsburgh are at right now? Like, the Jets are having trouble getting over that hump of being a very good team, and the Penguins are just struggling to be in the mix, which they haven't been in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it felt like for weeks this offseason we're like dragging our feet in the cement, like what's going to happen? And then finally we get two trades we've been waiting for. It kind of feels like once the first shoe drops, what's going to happen next? And it's like general managers woke up and remembered to do their job. So we are hyped, right? Mm-hmm. The Winnipeg-Pittsburgh trade I think is pretty interesting because if you're the Jets, you have to package it as a win. And like it's an unfortunate situation for them, but I really liked some of the quotes that came out from McGroarty saying, like, you put on the jersey, it doesn't feel right. And I think we have to respect that. You know, I think people and fans often forget that these are human beings and you have to do what's right for you. And sometimes in the NHL, you don't get that option until you're 27 or 28. So if you can have a little bit of leverage and control your future, go off. And that meant a trade. I love this for Pittsburgh. Because if you look at the Penguins, you think of the aging core, right? And it's an elite aging core. Sidney Crosby is still playing incredible hockey. And I think Malkin's going to have a bounce back year. And you have Erik Karlsson, who did play well despite the power play struggles. And Chris Letang still there. So you have the makings of a contender if you can support them correctly. And it just feels like previous management did so much damage that they had to do so much damage control before they could actually think about even contending. Mm-hmm. So this feels like one of those moves that's actually going to push them forward and isn't just cleaning up past mistakes. It's bringing in a young, you know, good all-around forward who I think is going to look great in that top six and add some speed and skill to it. And he has a lot of patience and size. Like he has a little bit of everything you can want in a player. I think that's so exciting for them. Add that with the fact that they brought in a new assistant coach to handle the power play because it really struggled under Todd Reirden last year. And it feels like Pittsburgh has the potential to get back into the picture as long as everyone around them isn't that much better.
Right. They only missed it by 3 points last year. Do you suspect the Jets will just still be steady as she goes based on their key pieces overall still being in place? Or does at some point it start to wear on the group, the pressure of not being able to have that postseason success?
I feel like it's got to wear on the group a little bit. And, I know I've been a big Jets hater. I feel like I'm always looking at the negatives with them because to me, sometimes they're so glaring, they're going to outweigh any positives that there are. And then last year, I finally gave them their due and they started to struggle again. So I'm a little bit worried about that. I think the fact that it's Scott Arneil instead of Bonus is a little bit different because I like that it means new assistant coach in the fold. I don't have a ton of faith in Scott Arneil as a coach, but if he's learned from previous experiences, why not see what he can do, right? The big thing here is this is a team that does really well in the regular season. And you have guys on this team that do really well in the regular season. And Ehlers and Hellebuyck are two of them that always stand out to me. And then the playoffs come around. And sometimes we make too much of this, right? Like this one folds in the playoffs. Or we're just hypercritical because it's such a small sample. But year after year, you look at Hellebuyck and you go, where is that greatness from the regular season in the playoffs? And same goes for Ehlers, right? Really great player. But what do you do when it matters the most? And I'm not saying the Jets' failures are on them. But they haven't done enough, I think, to bring the group up to make up for maybe their top player struggling when it matters most. Yeah. And I don't know if they've done anything to change that this year.
So another deal that happened involved Columbus, as you alluded to, much anticipated. And Montreal was pretty much in the rumor mill from the get-go. Are you surprised that it basically cost them nothing to get him?
No, because there was no salary retained. I think if there was salary retention, it's a different conversation. It wouldn't have surprised me if maybe like a change of scenery player was going back the other way. But I just think it got to the point where they said, we have to do this. It's like a make or break thing and it's new management. You don't want to start training camp with this stuff, you know, hanging over you. So make the deal. And I think Montreal makes a lot of sense because they're aiming for those reclamation projects and they're in a position to do so. But with Columbus, it's so interesting to me, the direction they've taken over the years. And I'm really curious if it starts to change. And now that they've kind of like put a bookend on changing last year, how they can look forward. There was some really interesting reporting from Aaron Portzline about, you know, the culture there and the locker room and the players that they chose to get rid of versus the players they didn't. And here they are. So I really wonder if things are going to change now that the front office is a little bit different and, you know, it's a new coaching staff. It's a new everything. So can they finally take a step forward and turn the page on what's been a couple of really, you know, surprisingly toxic years?
Yes. And in the bigger picture, it's been really hard for the Jackets. They had good years with Tortorella, but this is the 25th anniversary season, and they've missed 18 out of the 24 years. So that's tough. And then from a fan standpoint now, you can understand a general manager and coach wanting, and perhaps rightfully so, to preach a little bit of patience. And I'm not saying that they are, but as a fan of the Jackets, you're looking at that massive amount of cap space right now and wondering if there's anything they can do in the short term to help this season before then spreading it out even further to make them better a year from now.
I feel like it's got to be just leaning on the players they view as the future, right? And it's the present talent and the future talent. If Zach Werenski can be healthy for a year, I think we all forget about just how good he is.
Oh, he's so good.
He really is. Every year we do player tiers and we're all debating where does he belong? And it's so hard to say he should be here because he can't get through a season healthy. And it's not one injury that keeps nagging him. It's just horrible luck. So you have to take all of that into consideration. Then you look at the young talent they have and maybe how they've been misused in recent years. Guys like Kent Johnson, guys like Cole Sillinger, I think could play a bigger role. And we're going to see another year of growth from Fantilli. I would focus on those players and maybe let this roster go into the season and then tweak as you need. Look at the waiver wire and see what you can do to help or minor trades before making some huge splash because they're just not ready to do so. And I think when you jump to get that right now player, when you're not right there, we see how it burns you. And, you know, I understand why they went for Johnny Gaudreau at the time, but you look at some of the moves that they made at that moment and it felt like they were kind of speeding up the track when maybe they weren't ready to do so, and that can burn a team. So I wonder now how much they take a step back and play a more patient role, kind of similar to what the Canadians are doing, and how that can help them.
Both now are very fascinating teams to watch after completing that transaction in Montreal and Columbus. Nashville did so much work, thanks to their general manager at the start of free agency. Now, I would say perhaps unexpectedly, just because of how it was framed and the timing of it, but the insiders in the Predators organization might well have seen this coming after signing UC Saros to an extension, that Yaroslav Askarov isn't maybe looking glass half full at his career in Nashville. So if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators, what are you doing with this first round pick from 2020 who wants to be not only an NHLer, but presumably a number one in the very short? Is this an advantageous position for the Predators to be in?
Yeah, why not? Have a surplus at every position. I feel like every time we see a team have a glut at one position, it's like, well, you have to move on from them. Like, that is, you can play that out sometimes. Sometimes you can't, right? When it's a three-goalie situation, you have something bad going on, it's one thing. But you can play play a patient plan and see how it shakes out because you have the area of strength. So how do you deal it? And we don't know, right? We don't know Barry Trotz's tendencies. And I love how hyped we've all been over him as a general manager because the quotes coming out, everything, you're like, this is great. And then you see how he does things, why he does it. It feels like everyone's thirsting over Barry Trotz for all the right reasons. And maybe this trade will give us another reason to, because we don't know how he's going to navigate the situation. But right now saying, hey, we expect him to start camp with us, that's the thing you have to say. What are you going to say? Yeah, we're totally trading him. You lose all leverage. So maybe no one will believe him, but you can't play it any other way at this point. I'm very curious how they handle this. I don't blame the player for wanting out, right? You look at it and go, well, I'm not going to be a starter here. But I think that if they play it calm and cool, it's going to help them as much as possible because, you know, you don't want to deal while being under pressure. You want to take your time and find the right arrangement.
Spiciest landing spot for Askarov to be a number one impactful player quickly.
It could be someone like Chicago, which, you know, if you're
too much money in their crease now with Brossoit and why am I
Mrazek, right?
On Mrazek, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they're under contract for a couple. Can they? I don't think so.
Maybe. But I feel like it should be a young up-and-coming team. I mean, it would be.
He needs to go to Montreal, in my opinion. I think that would be
too much. What? They have too many goalies. Montembeau and Primo.
So trade Primo and bring in Askarov and make it a real challenge.
You could. I kind of want to see someone like Pittsburgh. Well, I would think it would be interesting if Pittsburgh can get involved and be like, all right, we're going to dump off Jarry somehow. I don't know how, but if they could go for it, or even like Utah would be really intriguing because
Utah was high on my list. Yes.
Yeah, like trade Vemelka and then run Ingram and Askarov. Like, that could be pretty good.
And what are you hearing out of Vancouver and Demko and his reality? Because Vancouver is supposed to be good. Marty thinks they're going to win the conference. That's going to be real hard to do if Demko isn't 100%.
Yeah. I don't want to say he was their everything last year because the shooting and everything, the finishing was huge. But oh my God, is he their backbone? Oh my God, do they need him? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be really intriguing. And you have to be worried, like, what does the future hold for him? Not just the start of the season or game 20, right? It's the long term if the injuries keep popping up and if this is going to be a long term issue. So yes, they might want to be in the market for a goaltender and they need that goalie to come on the cheap, right? Because they have so much cap tied up in so many players and they have question marks like Besser's next deal to still navigate through. So it's going to be really tricky for them, but I wonder how much they're going to kind of look at what they have first and see if like Shilovs can be the real deal after that postseason run. And, you know, maybe there's a little faith in that before you drop a ton for Askarov. But I'm really curious because Vancouver, I would be a lot of bit worried right now.
Yeah, I think so too. How happy should the Hughes boys be to be on the cover of NHL 25?
They should be pumped. I mean, look, it's a little early for Luke Hughes, but you can't do just Jack and Quinn. You could have gone, I think, honestly, with just Quinn alone and everyone would have been hyped because you're coming off a season as the best defenseman in the league, right? But I think it's such a cool moment for them. And I like that they did something a little bit different with the cover. It gets a little stale and it feels like this year the game might actually be good and playable because it's been a little bland the last couple seasons.
It's a great look and it's cool. I mean, it's still amazing that two of them are on one team and it is a nice, I'm sure Vancouver fans are thrilled to have the flying skate as the logo of choice as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Like that jersey flows much better than the blue and green would have, and that should be their full time for sure.
Continued success on the courts. Rumors are that you're working your way up the rankings as we approach a very critical time in the tennis season. So we'll talk to you next week, Shayna.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.